After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who'd been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Simon, and thank you, Claire, both for leading us and reading. Perhaps a familiar passage. Mumford, are you listening? The voice of my science teacher too many years ago to a sleepy student. At least that was more polite than the rap I received when I yawned in the middle of a maths lesson. Who on earth schedules double maths last thing on a Monday afternoon? But perhaps if I had listened better, my modest attempts at gardening would have improved, and I would be better equipped to explain this story we have in front of us. The story of a sower sowing seed on 4 different types of ground, and only one of those grounds producing a good crop. But it's throughout this story that one question reverberates. Colin, church, are you listening? Let's top and tail the story. It takes place as Jesus is traveling around proclaiming the good news. And then in verse 18, there is a direct instruction that Claire read for us. Consider carefully how you listen. So I thought we'd do a little short bit of participation this morning. And as I look out, I think everyone can be included. Can I just ask you to just raise your hands to about your face height? Yeah. And can you just check that you've got two lobes on the side of your face? Okay. Colin, that was pretty impertinent, wasn't it? But it's no more than Jesus does. When he calls out in verse 8, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm reminded of two conversations with two church members. One quite rightly saying to me, Colin, you weren't listening to me. Your eyes were going everywhere else while I was talking to you. And I needed to take note of that and apologize for that. Another, an incoming member saying, I know my Lord's voice. And that was so encouraging, so challenging. But isn't that what we want? We want to hear our Lord's voice through the Spirit and through Scripture. So we're going to look at this story this morning involving four types of soil. And I guess if we're Christians, we want to sit back comfortably and say, well, I'm all right. I'm already on the good soil. And certainly I hope that's the case. But our opportunity to remain on the good soil remains dependent on our continuing to listen well. As keen gardeners know, risks abound if flower beds are not attended to. Somehow in my garden, when I don't tend to the flowers, they wither, the weeds do not. If someone can explain that to me, that would be useful. Jesus lays down a specific challenge to some in verse 10. And he says, though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. And that's a quote from Isaiah 6. And that's quite hard. So helpfully the concordance I have explains it. And it says, this does not express a desire that some wouldn't understand, but simply states the sad truth that those who are not willing to receive Jesus' message will find the truth hidden from them. In other words, there are sadly none so deaf as those who do not want to hear. So what might we hear from this parable this morning? A seed fully distributed, a seed fully producing, and a seed fully retained. And it's the fully retained that has the question mark attached to it. First of all, a seed fully distributed. We're in the days before mechanization, and the sower is sowing his seed, presumably by hand, with no limits to where it is landing. The farmer is content to sow on the paths, the rocky ground, and amongst the thorns, as well as on the fertile soil. What does that tell us of our mission field? We can think too easily of areas which are too difficult. Surely it's not worth sowing there. We think of the hard work of our mission partners. Lord, that field looks too hard. Let's stop sowing there. The non-Christian family member. I couldn't talk to him. He'd never be interested. The farmer knows his field. The farmer knows there's a pathway through the middle of it. He knows the rocks, he knows the thorns, And yet, the farmer sows the whole field. Our mission field may be hard. Our non-Christian family members may, we seem to struggle. But let's not be discouraged. God the farmer does not discriminate between where he sows his seed. God's heart is always missional. He has the plea, which we read in Psalm 95 as Simon led for us. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The seed is fully distributed. Secondly, the seed is fully producing. If I'd listened better in my science lessons, I would have learnt what control experiments are supposed to be. I think the purpose of a control experiment is to test something out when everything else has failed. So we've got this situation where the sower has sowed seed on the rocks, on the path, and amongst the thorns, and nothing has happened. At that point, he's thinking, well, hang on a minute, is this seed actually any good? Let me plant it in the fertile soil to check. And so the seed is sown in the fertile soil, and lo, it comes up and yields a crop 100 times more than was sown. The seed, the word of God, is powerful soy seed. It's a seed that produces life. Again, looking up the books, I read about Christian apologists. Now, Christian apologists are those appearing in the 3rd century, explaining their gift, explaining religion to others. But for some reason, they're called apologists. Why are they called apologists when the message is good seed? The message is life-producing. It's not something that needs an apology. If the farmer has bought his garden seed from Wisley or Squires, and other garden centres are available, there is no need for an apology. The seed is productive. Let's remind ourselves of some of the words in Scripture. 2 Samuel 22, David, following God, says, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless." Hebrews 4, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." And James, "Man may look into the perfect law that brings freedom." Let us not underestimate the power and the potency of the word of God, the seed that is freely distributed, the seed that is fully producing. And then the question, a seed fully retained. Let me introduce my gardener friend David, if I may. I've brought your fork, mate, there you go. I'm going to give you a microphone. We don't normally have microphones in the garden, but hang on. Take that one. Can we have that one on?
Fantastic. I don't need a microphone. I'm so excited. I've just got a garden, Colin.
Excellent, excellent, good.
It's amazing, and it's a wee bit patchy, but, oh, you know, and there's some good soil and some bits and a few rocks and a thorny patch, but it's going to be amazing.
And
I've been down to Wisley, and I've got the most expensive marigold seeds I could find.
Brilliant, brilliant, excellent.
I'm going to have flowers everywhere.
Sounds great, David.
I think so. I'm a bit new to gardening.
Right.
So I don't really know what to do, but I've got this book.
Excellent. What's it called?
It's called You Will Be Able to Garden by the End of This Book.
Brilliant.
Maybe by the end of this service.
Yeah. Right, hold on a minute. Hold on a moment. That sounds absolutely great. Did you note the point? The gardener is sowing his whole garden. The gardener anticipates a harvest field across the whole garden. Right, mate, how's it getting on? you've planted a few weeks ago?
Well, it's coming on. But the pigeons came and they started eating everything and they ate my slug pellets and it doesn't seem to have done them any harm. But there's some sprouting, so we'll see.
Okay. The explanation for the seed falling on the path is the reminder that the devil comes and takes word from the hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The Apostle Paul, in his missionary travels, consistently had a battle in talking to the Jewish people, expressing God's desire that they would hear and the frustration that they did not. The sower sows, the sower can encourage, but ultimately the response is down to each individual. As we seek to sow, we have no power to ensure that the seed will germinate. That is not our responsibility. Jesus saw this and he quotes again from Isaiah, "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." And there is the plea, and there is the promise. I will heal. If we do not listen, how do I hear the promise of Jesus to bathe and cleanse a guilt-ridden conscience as he did with Peter, who had walked for 3 years with Jesus and then denied knowing him? David, you still got that garden growing?
Oh, it's okay, but the rockery's no good because there's no rain.
Well, how much watering have you done?
A little, I mean, none.
No.
I should have bought a watering can.
That might have been a good idea. Ridiculous, who wrote the script. But a reminder that young Christians, as well as ourselves, will need constant nurturing. Jesus warns of times of testing. We need to know where to go in the Bible for promises of assurance. In the old days, you would be able to pick up a Gideon's Bible. In the front, it would have sections telling you where to find advice in different life situations. Now, everything like that is available on the web. But the importance is that we take opportunity to learn it. I found a website, which I think probably the next one, possibly. The next slide, possibly. No, try the next one. That's the one. You say, God says. Just put that through the web, and there you will find different advice. We're very good at listening to ourselves. In particular, the anxieties that can circle in our minds have a loud voice. How reassuring when amidst such mayhem and cacophony, a promise of God heard in the light can be remembered to give us assurance. If I'm not listening, how do I hear the promises of Psalm 121? My help comes from the Lord. He who watches over Israel will never slumber or stop. We listen to ourselves. Let's listen better to God. If we're in a good season, and I hope we are, then the advice of a former pastor here, never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Never doubt in the dark what God told you in the light. Let's build up a reserve of understanding. How many of us remember the next advert? Remember that one? Readybrick, central heating for kids. Revolting. Prefer Weetabix myself, but there. But the central point, breakfast, unless you're into your egg and bacon, all that unhealthy stuff, isn't always the most appetizing. But boy, we need it. And we miss it when we don't have it. At least that's my experience. We need to keep ourselves fed. We need to allow God to feed us. We need to listen to his promises for us. David, I haven't seen you for a while. I trust that garden's now improving.
Oh, it's all dead. Those thorns just took over the whole place. And it's so disappointing, Colin.
Well, what about the book? Didn't you do what it told you?
I suppose I could have done, but it just looks really nice on my shelf and people think I'm a gardener.
Again, a ridiculous example, but a point too easily made. We need to heed and listen to the warnings that we find in Scripture that will correct us from relying on our own strength and divert us from paths which are wrong for us. In our season on parables, next Sunday, Mike is coming to speak on the parable of the rich fool. And as an example, are we listening to warnings around relying on riches? David, your marigolds won.
Yes.
First prize. What have you done?
Oh, well, it's blooming marvellous. After our last conversation, I went to better soil, I cleared out the weeds, I watered regularly, and bingo, I've got a massive crop.
Excellent, excellent.
And, you know, I think some of those original seeds are reseeded and they've started regrowing and it's amazing and it's, oh, we're going to have such wonderful flowers. It's great.
I'll give you some competition next year. Jesus summed up the story. The good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. James, the brother of Jesus, makes the point rather more pointedly. James 1, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. As we listen, so we can follow him. Sheep aren't the most intelligent of creatures, but they hear the shepherd's voice and they know what is good for them. As we seek to listen, we will find that assurance that the way of love, the way of honesty, the way of owning up and seeking forgiveness is the way that works. As we listen, we hear the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whose promise is that he will guide us into truth and he will make God's voice known to us as we listen. A seed fully producing, a seed fully distributed, a seed fully retained. How we might listen to God's word better. How do we help each other with this? Well, five ideas. I'm a fan of Jeff Lucas's Life with Lucas notes. If you do have notes, something like this, really helpful, very practical, very honest. Reading Luke in 2 months, Roger set us the challenge last week that we would read the book of Luke in 2 months. There are copies of Luke's Gospel down here if you'd like to start with that. If they've gone, just leave your name and number and we will get another copy for you. Still, our next meeting next Sunday evening, with the intent that we come together to listen to one another, to listen to what God has been saying to us recently. Roger again coordinates a group for internationals in particular, a WhatsApp group which will enable you to get a daily Bible verse from him on the phone. If you want to receive those, have a word with Roger. And then, two sisters and a cup of tea. Linda.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to tell you about something that's called Two Sisters and a Cup of Tea. I'll tell anyone who listens to me about how I read the Bible to have a look at this. It's a website. It's a podcast. It's 20 minutes long. And it's really good. It was recommended to me by another Christian friend. And you can listen, like I listen when I'm driving the car to work or if I go on a walk. And it's literally two sisters, one's in the UK, one's in the US. They're having a cup of tea, they're having a biscuit, they talk a lot about biscuits, and they're looking at the Bible. They start their season in Habakkuk. I don't think I ever remembered reading Habakkuk, but I've now gone through Habakkuk, and I'm currently doing Esther. But the amazing thing about it is it's really rich. It's only 20 minutes, which doesn't sound like very much, and you might wonder how on earth you get anything in 20 minutes. But it's like a mini deep dive, if that's a possible way to describe it. And I really encourage it. They say that they're for women, but I think anyone could listen to it. And their heart is that it makes the Bible accessible and that we would be encouraged to have a cup of tea and open the Bible with somebody else. That's their real heart in it. And I've never asked anyone to read the Bible with me until a few months ago. My mum had stopped going to church and it was quite a hard time for her. It was quite dry. And I just thought, gosh, she really needs something. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to get it out of my mouth. And I'm going to say, Mum, shall we read the Bible together? We've never read the Bible together, ever. And she said, yes, which was amazing. And so we listened separately to the podcast. She picked the Fruits of the Spirit season. And we listened separately. And then we would meet together on FaceTime for an hour. We'd catch up family stuff first, and then I'd be like, oh, what did you think of the podcast? And she'd just start talking. And it's been amazing. It's been a real blessing to me. I hope she's been blessed. We're having a pause over the summer, and she wants to do another season in the autumn, which is incredible, and I'm so excited by it, and I have been so blessed by it. So, yeah, highly recommend. Have a look, see what you think. It's not for everybody, but it's a way to listen to the Bible, and if you do one yourself, then maybe you'll be inspired to say to somebody else, hey, would you like to listen to the Bible with me and we can look at it together?
Brilliant. Thank you, Linda. Lastly, small groups. We would love each member regular here to be connected to a small group with the intent that we support one another. We read, we study together and learn how to apply it. The small group season will have a break over the summer. Please don't wait until September to ask or join a group. Have a word with me today. Have a word with Rajan over the next couple of weeks. We would love to feed you into a group. Everything here are aids. The invitation and the challenge is that we listen. Simon Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years and said these words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We're talking about listening to the Word of God, the divine Word. We're talking to listening to a Word that is eternal, a Word that lasts. We're talking about listening to a Word that produces life. The Word of God, freely sown and available to us. The Word of God that is life-producing. The Word of God that we are ready and eager to listen to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, for its power to encourage us, to correct us, its power to make you known to us, for all its promises, for promises which are dear to us. Thank you that we have your word so freely available in this country. Help us to listen better. Give us an appetite, we pray. And thank you that you are the one who feeds us and desires that we would be that field that produces a full crop. Lord, that's what we want to be. We want to be a crop that displays for your glory. Enable us individually, enable us in a church, we pray. Please. Amen.